Coming up on Patriots This Week, a banner evening, a championship moment, a night to remember.
New England Patriots!
In an off-season of accusation, there was also a White House visit.
Give it up for the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And a symbol of the long, hard road to a championship. Now it's a new journey. The games have begun, and we're all ready for some football. That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Better way to begin a new season than by unveiling a championship banner and then prevailing, of course, in your first game in defense of a Super Bowl title. And that's exactly what the Patriots did on Thursday night at Gillette Stadium as they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers by the 28-21 final. Hi, everyone. Bob Soucy along with three-time Super Bowl champion, former Patriots linebacker Matt Chatham, and my radio partner, longtime quarterback for the Pats, Scott Zolakis. We welcome you to our 2015 debut of Patriots This Week. Of course, reliving Thursday night season opener. And guys, Tom Brady in the spotlight, in the glare all summer long. And of course, on a primetime stage, he was Tom Terrific once again.
Yeah, I really like watching this guy, Bob, compete. You know, we've talked a lot throughout the preseason, and there was a lot made of, well, Tom doesn't look good, or, you know, he doesn't look like he's engaged. And, you know, it's the off-the-field stuff that's still hanging over his head. I chalked it up as he didn't have anybody in the huddle with him. And then you see what transpired Thursday night. Matt, good luck being a linebacker trying to cover 2 6-foot-7 tight ends. Quick scat back in Deion Lewis. And, of course, the rotation of offensive line. I thought the young offensive line did well.
They did admirable. And it was something I was curious about, Zoe. As a quarterback, you might know this better than I would, obviously. But not having that relationship in game reps in the preseason and the work that those guys, Edelman and Gronk, with Tommy in practice, how crucial that was, because it was a little bit of a curveball. What are they going to come out and be able to do, having not worked in live action, especially against a Steelers team that likes to mix it up and do some different things, and they pulled it off.
We make fun of, you know, not having a camp. And I say make fun because he and I went through training camps where two-a-days were two-a-days.
The real ones, yeah.
And we talk about walkthroughs and how boring walkthroughs can be. It goes to show you how much the walkthroughs pay off. The attention to detail, knowing where to line up, how multiple they were on offense. Good luck if you're Rex Ryan this week, and we'll get to Buffalo at some point in the show. But, okay, flip on the tape. I don't know who I start covering, but, I mean, you got to start with number 87. That's the easy one, right?
Yeah, when 87 was covered, or if he wasn't available immediately, he found number 11, his go-to guy. And, of course, he got Scott Chandler for a touchdown, one of the four touchdown passes, and the one that wasn't thrown to Rob Gronkowski in a 25-for-32 performance en route to career victory number 161 in the regular season, most ever by a quarterback with a single team. So no surprise to you guys, given Brady's pedigree and his track record, his performance last night. But what about the fourth tight end offense and some of the surprises that we saw from the Patriots? What stood out for you guys?
I just think the ability to go multiple there. You get two touchdowns off the four tight end set. I've never seen four tight ends. Now, I don't know how much you really want to classify Michael Williams as a tight end. I know he has a number 85 on.
Right.
I know he returned a kick. And I'm screaming during the broadcast, get down. Don't run the ball back. But, I mean, you still have to account for him. I mean, they threw the ball to Mike Vrabel in the past. You know, they will throw two tackles. They threw it to Nate Solder last year against the Colts. So you better cover everybody. And then once you forget about Michael Williams, that's when Josh is going to end up throwing it to him.
So here's the deal. As a linebacker, they pulled that thing out in the low red. So this is deep in the red zone. And three tight ends is something that every bell and whistle in your ear goes off and says, it's run. You know, they're putting three giant guys. The fourth, what is that?
And what do you do, nickel?
Exactly. So, I mean, just the train of thought in your head is, what in the world are they trying to do? And they pass from that set. So as a linebacker, you have a run-pass conflict. I mean, you really have to honor the pass fake. And there's these four giant dudes that are bookending this thing. It lies to you. I mean, you're seeing something different than happened. It's so difficult. Now, again, the Bills are going to have a chance to go back and look at that and try to learn from it. But in live action, when you haven't seen it, you don't know what it is, you have to play it honest. And honest looks like run.
And bottom line here, you know, when we watch camp and you watch practice, the one-on-ones, and you've been through the drills, it's linebackers on tight ends and backs. When you play linebacker in the National Football League, you better be able to cover tight ends. Now, we make fun of the fact that Pittsburgh runs two linebackers out with the two tight ends. The problem is, they're both 6'7", and one of them is a freak of nature in Rob Gronkowski. I mean, I don't care who you are. You're going to have a tough time covering them.
A year ago, Patriots, number one in terms of trips inside the red zone, but not quite as efficient as they'd like to be inside the 20 when it comes to scoring touchdowns. Game one, 4-for-4 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You've talked about the effectiveness of the tight ends, their ability to throw the ball to the backs or hand it off out of the shotgun spread formation. What does that portend for the future 2015.
I think the critical part you hit on there is that they did run the ball a few times efficiently once you get the rows. That's so critical, because if you do get down there and you realize, you know what, hey, we just can drop in and try to double and try to jam one of those two tight ends. If we're just thinking we have to count for these two guys, life's a little easier. But if you have to honor this, if it takes that false step and then you got to do the other, that's a problem as well. The other thing I like is with Gronkowski, they screw with people, and I love that, where they come out of the huddle, you know the personnel group, and Tom will reset it. He doesn't start wide out. He doesn't break the huddle and go out there. A lot of times he'll be tight to the formation. He'll see something and send him, and it causes the manipulation by the they see the linebacker walk with him, and it, literally you can stop the play. It's over.
The second you have motion, the second you reset, it forces you from a coverage aspect to recheck everything, and you check out of blitzes, and all of a sudden you're starting to read instead of react. So now all of a sudden, you know, the Patriots are setting the tone, and they came out in the second half, attempted to run the football. I thought that was good. I thought they had established a little bit of that. These guards will get better as time goes on, and you get their pads a little bit lower.
Well, before we get to the offensive line, Deion Lewis, 120 all-purpose yards. One of the big question marks coming into training camp, who would be the guy that would replace Shane Vereen? Deion Lewis got the first crack last night. How'd he do?
I thought he did well, you know, especially early in the game. You know, they're giving him a good four-yard cushion. They throw a couple hook routes to him, and his ability to make people miss is going to be the fun part watching this guy.
As far as the offensive line goes, a rookie free agent starting at center, David Andrews, another rookie, Trey Jackson, in the lineup. We saw Shaq Mason get extensive reps, not only at fullback, but primarily on the offensive line. How do those guys hold up?
If they were up, they played. I mean, that was a situation. Josh Klein played as well. Marcus Cannon rotated to both sides. They used everyone that came and put a jersey on to that day. So I think they played pretty well considering that. Offensive line is always something where you want to get into a tempo. Yeah. You want to get into a rhythm. You want to go series after series. They didn't do that and still were able to survive and put points on the board.
And there were periods through camp where some of these guys were out, Vollmer, Solder. So I think they're trying to make sure that, you know, we know it's a long season. We get excited because we wanted to pick five guys and just go maul people. That's not the case. They rotated a bunch. I like to see them stick a little bit more with Solder and Vollmer and have those guys have some more stamina.
Conversely, the defensive line, a difficult time against D'Angelo Williams in the Steelers running game, 127 yards for him in place of Le'Veon Bell. What concerns you there?
Well, I think, you know, the lack of Vince Wilfork in the middle, the ability to have, and Matt can allude to this a little bit more, that two-gap player and a guy that's going to be able to, you know, take on two guys. They don't have that right now. And there were lanes in there. You talk about the down guys. I thought the linebackers struggled a little bit against the run, too.
What happened last night was 2013 Denver Broncos Patriots. This was a game plan thing where I was watching it through my binoculars, and just kept going over and over. And I was just floored that they would continue to come out in 12 personnel. Fans at home, that's two tight ends. So you got Big Heath Miller and Spaith on the other side. Two big dudes, which is a run formation.
There we go. Yeah. Gotta get it.
That's how I feel. Two big dudes next to me.
But the point is, it's a run formation. And the Patriots stayed in virtually the entire game, even in a low red area, down inside the 5-yard line, in nickel fronts and dime fronts. What that means, nickel fronts means a linebacker comes into the game and put a little DB in. They had times where they put a dime in, where there's only one linebacker in the game and two little DBs in. So what this means is, in the box, you only have six guys. We talk about like the Dallas Cowboys and their great running game, and a lot of these teams, like Adrian Peterson, teams put eight in the box. Always seven, sometimes eight. The Patriots tried to play virtually that entire game last night with a six-man box. So Vince or no Vince, you're thin. You're a man short. They're conceding something, as they did against the Broncos. The idea being D'Angelo Williams gets 120. That means that when he's getting a 4 or 5 or 6 yard run, Roethlisberger's not completing a 10 or 15 yard pass. It's a concession. It's a scheme thing. They play chess. You give up some yards in the box score, but you win the game inevitably.
Big Ben threw for 351 yards. When we come back, we'll talk about the Patriots secondary on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Chris Harper, the 5'11", 175-pound rookie free agent from the University of California, led the Patriots with 15 receptions in the preseason. The 21-year-old says it's a dream to catch passes from Tom Brady. Harper says he wore Brady's number 12 jersey growing up as a Patriots fan. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studio. Patriots This Week, Bob Soucy with Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak. We talked before the break about the Patriots' defensive line, an area of concern, obviously, coming into this season. The back end of that defense, 351 yards for Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, another terrific night, per usual for him. What about the secondary? How did it perform overall?
You take a look at Malcolm Butler, and that's what everybody's talking about. 11 targets, 9 catches. But I look at the way he was in the hip pocket of Antonio Brown. And I'm telling you what, if you watch number 84 for the Steelers, you should be a big fan of this guy. He competes. He catches everything. There were 3 times where Butler had absolute perfect coverage. The touchdown at the end of the game. The comeback to the left side of the big third down early in the game where I thought he was going to intercept it. And Brown makes the catch. He got him on a double move, got him on a slot, beat him off the jam. But other than that, he's there. There's things you can work with number 21. You're going to end up seeing, I think, a box and one from the basketball term moving forward where it's going to be a lot of zone. Malcolm Butler's going to be matched up on the other team's best receiver.
What was interesting to me is not knowing what in the world they were going to do. I mean, how are they going to – are they just going to go left-right? Are they going to play zone? Are they going to play more man? We just didn't know. Are they going to feel safe enough to leave a single safety in the middle field, not play too high? In this particular game, they started with some left-right, but there was one point in the game when they migrated and said, hey, you know what, Malcolm Butler, you're taking Antonio Brown. And to me, that just talks about staff faith that they have in this guy. The other thing I liked is, and Zoe mentioned it, of course, some catches happen. They get paid two, and this is one of the best wide receivers in the league.
And quarterback. And,
you know, exactly.
Quarterback's pretty good.
Exactly. Bradley Fletcher had a play that he gave up to Darius Hayward Bay, get that name right, down the sideline. But again, he's right in his pocket. It's perfect coverage, but they conceded one. So I think if you're going to be hard and critical on the guys when they go back and watch their film, the thing they were trying to take away was the downfield balls. They gave up a couple deep into the outside, but what was unique is they were willing to play single safety. There was just a middle of the field guy. So this was not, we're going to cover up every single guy because we don't trust our cornerbacks. They clearly don't feel that way about their guys, and they were able to win.
And we talked about that on the broadcast, the trust and having a single high safety, and that says a lot for number 21.
Yeah.
Speaking of the broadcast, you guys talking about defensive backs being in the hip pockets of receivers. Zoe, you and I literally were in the heads of Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff.
I like to think that, you know, throughout the day, I own real estate in a lot of people's heads. You know, I like to get in there, run around a little bit, you know, have some fun.
Play the sand.
Like I say, sleep is for losers, man. And if you're sleeping, life's passing you by. And it's just great that we were able to help the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was very complimentary of Ben Roethlisberger, you know, sitting in the pocket, making the throws. And I'm sure the Steelers, you know, they're okay with what we said.
And maybe not so complimentary of Todd Haley's play selection, especially on that first drive, or the clock management late in the first half.
That was stupid. I mean, that was one of the dumbest calls. You're moving the football. You're on the road, and you come out with the reverse pass. I mean,
yeah, it was goofy.
There's a reason Todd Haley's still not the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
We'll continue with more Patriots This Week right after this.
Big night at Gillette Stadium to kick off the 2015 season, the dropping of the banner. But the ceremonies, I want to go right to the tape. There's the guy that's batting cleanup. I say in the number 4 spot right there. Grand slam for this guy. 7 months, Mr. Robert Kraft has had to hear all the allegations regarding this team. What's he do? He comes out with his former number 1 pick in the entire ownership era. There's Willie McGinnis, my man Troy Brown, the guy that did everything. And, of course, shut down corner number 1, Ty Law. 4 Super Bowl trophies. It's a great look. Got a little T-Pain. It's amazing they didn't make Mr. Kraft dance with those sneakers that he has on. I know Ty hooked him up with some. And then there's the banner. Look how beautiful that is. 4 of those banners dropped, but here's your problem. Where are you going to put number 5? You can call what you want, the drive for 5, staying alive. I'm up all night, sleeps for losers. Here's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
And we continue from the Bob's Discount Furniture Studio. Patriots This Week, in the wake of the Pats' season-opening win over the Pittsburgh Steelers 28-21, out to the 1-0 start, looking for their 7th straight AFC East Championship. And guys, speaking of the division, a lot of changes within. Let's start with the Miami Dolphins. They added Ndamukong Suh. They rebuilt the receiving core for Ryan Tannehill. Your thoughts about the Dolphins?
Well, no Mike Wallace. And I think we talked for years about how this big downfield threat was just going to change things with them. I don't think it fit his skill set. I think Tannehill's got a little more precision, guys. Devontae Parker's a guy who's going to be exciting. He's been a little banged up early. Kenny Stills comes over from New Orleans. Mullins and I believe a trade. But the idea is, yes, it's absolutely a rework group. But, yeah, Sue has been the story. My view on all this is not that Ndamukong Suh isn't just this great player, which he is, but I think there's a certain dollar figure to which you draw a double team. And then after you've overpaid past that double, you're wasting a bunch of cash. And, I mean, I think, seriously, you can draw a double for half that money. And once you're doubled, you don't make plays. So I think if you're the Patriots, it's great that they have that player there, but I think it handicaps the roster a little bit. I think we're going to talk about this years down the road where Miami is going to be a little strapped because when you're paying $20-ish million to one player that you can double and take away, might not be a great spend.
It's going to be fun to go down there in December because of the weather, but as you know, Bob, it's tough to play down there. I think Miami's trending in the right direction, if that makes any sense. Yeah. I'm not in on Ryan Tannehill, you know what I think of him, but you can't ignore the numbers. He's progressively getting better. But they had no choice. They had to sign him to the type of contract last year that they signed him to. They're going to be tough. They're going to be physical. They're going to be a tough opponent. But I think Buffalo still is a step ahead of them.
Someone who's not necessarily enigmatic because he wears his emotions on his sleeve and, of course, with his mouth, Rex Ryan. He's gone from New York City, or at least northern Jersey, to western New York with the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. Kind of the same old Rex Ryan situation. A great defense. What about the quarterback?
Good corner, Stephon Gilmore. The quarterback, he's a guy, Tyrod Taylor, that can run around and make plays. I think he's dangerous. I don't think he's going to take over games. I like the Buffalo Bills. I just think I'm happy for the fan base that that team stayed there. It's indicative of the amount of ticket sales that they've had, the season ticket sales. I remember being up there in the 90s when the K-Gun was going. And that place is jumping, and it's amped up. We'll be up there next week, and it's going to be a hornet's nest.
Yeah, I actually love what Rex has done there. The only thing that makes me have reservation of where this thing is going to go is, again, he's made the move at quarterback. I don't have any ill thoughts about Tyrod Taylor. I think he'd be great, and he actually had an excellent preseason. He didn't do a ton of running around and actually was very efficient with the ball. So I think that's a super positive sign. They might have a guy. The bigger issue is, though, now they've got another. They've got their receiving core kind of banged up. So they spent all that money to get the Clemson wide receiver, Watkins. He didn't have much of a camp. Robert Woods was down. Marquise Goodwin is down. So it's great to resolve one problem but then have another one outstanding. So when that day, well, full compliment, that could be a very good team.
And no Freddie Jackson. Okay, so he's out in Seattle. So we're happy about that. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Rex's old team and his successor, Todd Bowles, with the New York Jets, reuniting Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie on defense. However, on offense, despite the acquisition of Brandon Marshall, still a lot of questions for New York now that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback there.
Yeah, I mean, Fitzpatrick, I don't know if he makes them better, but, I mean, the guy going in was Geno Smith, and they knocked out their starting quarterback right in their own locker room. Says a lot about what that guy meant to that team, the respect they had for him. You got two really good corners. You got to respect it. You got a guy coming off that will be coming off a suspension after 4 weeks. There's a lot of things the Jets have as problems. We'll see how they react to Todd Bowles. I think they're at the bottom of the rung in the AFC.
And still a lot of things we have to discuss right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
This is the week to start Ryan Tannehill. The Dolphins quarterback had 27 TDs and passed for more than 4,000 yards last year. Tannehill opens the season in Washington against a Redskins team that already seems to be in disarray. But sit Brandon Marshall. The new Jets wideout is up against Joe Hayden and a good Browns secondary. And Marshall's chemistry with the new Jet QB, Ryan Fitzpatrick, is a big unknown. This week's sleeper is Doug Martin. After two injury-riddled seasons, the Bucs running back wants to prove he's the back that rushed for more than 1,600 yards in his rookie season. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
And welcome back to Patriots This Week. The Pats, again, a 28-21 winner over the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday in the season opener. So they're 1-0. Scott Zolak, what will they be by regular season's end?
Come on, is this a gambling show? I think they're going to be 13-3, guys. I think, you know, you give them a couple room for some hiccups right there. But the biggest test, you got past the Pittsburgh Steelers week one. When I look at the teams that they play, this is a quarterback-based league. That was one of your better quarterbacks you're going to face in 16 weeks. You got Tony Romo coming down the road, and I know what people think about Tony Romo, but he's going to put some points up, and he's a heck of a quarterback. Other than that, you got subpar to average quarterbacks you're going to play. I think that's going to get you to 13 wins. I really do.
Well, the answer will be in how they stop the run. And again, this first week doesn't tell you much because it was a scheme thing. But think of the teams that are on the docket. You've got the entire NFC East. So all those Giants and Eagles that love to run the football, and the Cowboys, nothing but it. Then you get Tennessee. Then you have Houston. All these teams are running football teams. So it's going to be a much different feel this year than a year ago. You can still win a ton of games. 14-2, 13-3, it doesn't really matter to me. But I think the challenge is different. So we're learning a lot about this team in the coming weeks.
All right, our maiden voyage is complete. Guys, what do you say we do it again next week?
Sounds good, Bob.
Good enough.
He did all right.
He did. Yeah,
all right, for Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, you guys who did all right themselves, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week on Patriots This Week.